Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The seed in Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed fell on four different kinds of soil. Or better, there were three out of four scenarios in which a set of obstacles prevented the seed from taking root and growing into a fruit-bearing plant. You have the hard, trampled down soil of the wayside, where men walked and trampled it, and the birds of the air devoured it immediately before it could sprout at all. You have the rocky soil, where the seed took root, well, didn't take root, sprang up but couldn't take root, didn't send down its roots because of the rocks around it, and so didn't have moisture and withered. You have the seed that fell among thorns and weeds that choked it and made it unfruitful. In all three of those scenarios, the seed remained the constant. Just as it was when it fell on the good ground, the good soil, the seed didn't change at all. The seed is the Word of God, Jesus says, and no matter where it falls, no matter how it is received when men hear it, the seed, the word, has the same power, the same strength, the same life. Life that will germinate and sprout and grow into a plant that produces much fruit, unless it is resisted and hindered by surrounding conditions. Not conditions that are all outside, but the condition of the heart itself. But first, let's consider what the Word of God is that is preached as seed that is sown. It's every word of the Bible recorded there as those words are arranged in the telling of God's story. The story of creation. How God made all things, and the fall into sin, and God's promise to send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. The Word of God is the story of fallen mankind, and how we have filled the world with our wickedness, and how our very nature is corrupt and diseased beyond remedy. The Word of God is the story, further, of God's mercy and grace toward fallen and rebellious mankind, and His deeds in history to bring about the birth of Him who is the only Savior for mankind. The Word of God is centered on Jesus the Christ, true God and true man. His deeds, His words, His life, His death, His resurrection, His sending of the Holy Spirit, His working in and through the ministry of the Word, His call to repentance and to faith in Him, and His promise of the forgiveness of sins to all who believe and are baptized. The Word of God is, in summary, His law and His gospel. The seed, the word, is sown whenever it is preached. That story, not just the individual words, but that preaching altogether of God's law and gospel. What happens after it is preached? That's the theme of Jesus' parable. Consider the seed that fell by the wayside. Why is it trampled by men? Why are the birds able to come and snatch it away? Because the ground is hard. Trampled by men, trampled by false teachers, trampled by the philosophies of this world. This is stubborn ground. The mind and heart distracted, disinterested. Here the preaching of the word falls on deaf ears, as we say. People don't take it seriously. They don't think about what they hear or meditate on it. They assume they don't really need it or that they know enough already. They may well eat up the words of false teachers and false preachers, but the plain and simple word of God, with its call to repentance and faith in Christ, that sits on the surface until the devil comes and snatches it away. Consider the seed that fell among the rocks. These people, Jesus says, receive the word with joy. They believe for a while. They start out as Christians, but they have no roots and therefore no moisture. Their faith is not watered by God's word and sacraments. Instead, they may become enamored of the empty philosophies of this world. They're satisfied with the latest Christian meme on Facebook, or with soundbite theology, or drive-by theology, if you will. Jesus loves me, this I know, and this is all I care to know. Don't bother me with teaching, with doctrine. Their faith is rooted in what men have said, which isn't really roots at all, as opposed to what God clearly teaches in His Word. They cling to human teachings or human institutions instead of clinging to Christ and His sure and faithful Word. I'll give you just one example of this, and there are many. If any of you have seen January's Thrivent calendar. There's even one up out there. Maybe we should take it down. But if you're careful, you can use the calendar part and then learn from the falsehoods that are printed on it sometimes. This one has a picture of a wintry scene outside a beautiful place. And then a quote from someone who says, "This is where I like to go and relax and be with God." Do you notice how shallow that is and how false and yet how common of a thought that is? Never has God sent anyone out into the cold, wintry air to be with Him. Instead, He sends people to where His word is sown, to where His word is preached and His sacraments are rightly administered, in order for them to be with Him and to benefit from such presence. But this is rocky soil. And when temptations and persecutions come along, there are no roots to sustain this faith. They give in to falsehood instead of suffering for the truth. And that plant withers and dies. Now consider the seed that fell among thorns, among weeds, which, Jesus says, are the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. The importance of Christ and His kingdom fall further and further down the list of priorities or importance in one's heart as they begin to worry about money or sickness or comfort or entertainment, or the future. Their faith becomes a matter of Sunday mornings at best. And the rest of the week, it's as if they have nothing to do with this Christ. That's what can happen. Even until regular Sunday becomes something of the past, a mere remembrance, as it's choked out by other things. There are two messages in this parable. We might say there are many messages, but two main ones. And there's one that's directed toward the preacher and one that's directed toward the hearer of the word. One for us Christians as we observe what happens around us in the world when the word of God is preached. And another for us and for all people as we ourselves are the hearers of the word. Jesus first wants his own disciples to understand how they are to preach. They are to preach the word as this sower sows his seed. He doesn't line it up neatly in a row, one by one. Instead, he simply casts it abroad so that it falls where it may. Don't cater to this one or to that, Jesus instructs his disciples. Don't mess with the word. Don't try to focus your preaching on what you perceive to be good soil. Don't try to manipulate the soil itself. Don't try to change the conditions or the atmosphere. Simply preach the word and let that be that. Then Jesus wants his disciples to understand what happens and what will happen when they preach the word. It will fall on different kinds of soil with different conditions and be received differently by different people. The always effective, always powerful word of God will not always produce a desirable effect in those who hear it. In fact, rarely will it find good soil where it will grow into a faith that perseveres and lasts and that produces an abundance of love and good works. Too often, both preachers and Christians of all kinds in general have the wrong idea about the results that they see when the word is preached. Too often, Christians look at the size of a church or the size of a gathering of Christians and measure the church by the numbers they see. They ask, is it growing? Is it growing? And if it is, they say it's doing the right thing. And if it's not, they say it's doing the wrong thing. Too often, Christians doubt the efficacy of the Word of God and imagine that it's really the other things that count and that make God's church grow. Too often, Christians worry about the conditions surrounding the preaching rather than the preaching itself. But Jesus would have us simply preach the Word and trust that God will do what He wishes through it. Trust that, as we confess in our Augsburg Confession, through the Word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit will work faith when and where it pleases God. In those who hear the good news, that God justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. Most will never believe, not because the word was ineffective, but because they resisted the word in so many different ways. But God's word will not return to him empty, as he promises through the prophet Isaiah. It will find good soil too. Those who receive it with good and noble hearts, who believe every word, who take it seriously, who keep hearing the word and receiving the sacraments, who live in daily repentance, who bring forth fruit with patience, and who bear the cross with perseverance. Well, that's the first main message of this gospel for us as preachers and as observers of how the word of God works around us. The second main message is for us as hearers of the word, so that we take it to heart and take to heart the dangers that threaten the word when we hear it and take care of ourselves lest we hear it and fail to keep it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus cried out to the crowds who heard his preaching. In other words, everyone, if you have working ears that can hear the words of Jesus preaching, God wants you not just to hear the sounds of those words, but to take them to heart and learn from them What do we learn about the soil along the wayside? We learn that it's not about removing distractions around us or making the devil disappear, and only then can you benefit from the word. It's about being a different kind of soil, a softer one, a more receptive one. It's about fighting against the devil and praying to God that he will let his word penetrate your heart when you hear it, and then listening attentively whenever it's preached. We prayed that in one of the stanzas of the hymns that we just sang. What do we learn from the rocky soil? We learn that it's about taking the doctrine of Christ seriously and studying it and learning it. Pray to God to strengthen your faith and to keep you rooted in Christ Jesus, which means also being rooted in His Word and nourished by His sacraments. Then, when trials come, and they will come, when false doctrine comes along, when persecution attacks you, you'll be able to bear up under it, even as God promises in His Word to help you bear up under it. What do we learn from the seed that fell among thorns? Be on your guard. You know that the cares, riches, and pleasures of life are like creeping vines that are constantly inching toward the plant. And the devil will use even the good things in your life to lure you away from Christ. So recognize those cares and riches and pleasures, and then stop and remember the words of Christ to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then His promise that all these things that you need will be added to you as well. Now, as you hear these very words of Christ, His Holy Spirit is working the ground of your heart like an expert farmer, and would turn it into good soil. Not that you're good by nature, but the power of the Word is such that it breaks through the hard ground and leads you to repentance and faith in Christ, who is good and merciful, who bore your sins on the cross and covered them with His blood in your baptism, and who is even now tending to the seed that He has planted, so that you may persevere in faith and bear fruit with patience, all of which will not be your doing, but the faith and the fruits that God Himself has produced and will produce in you for His honor and glory. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.